be saved and not know it. And you can't be saved and not show it. In other words, when the Lord saves you, He gives you that assurance that you are His child. You know you're saved. His Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. But not only can you not be saved and not have that assurance, you can't be saved and not show it. It will be displayed in your life. The Lord changes the sinner. He makes them new creatures. So that they begin to live a life that is in obedience to the Lord and as it is pleasing to the Lord, and others will see and know it. And so it is as the Lord sanctifies us. So it is as the Lord molds us unto His image. Others will see it and others will know it. If you are making time to commune with the Lord, others should and others will see a Christ-like spirit in your life and emanating from your life. Wasn't that the case in the ministry and testimony of Peter and John? In Acts chapter 4, they were brought before the Jewish Sanhedrin. They had preached and the lame man at Solomon's porch had been converted and they were imprisoned overnight, and they were threatened that they were no more to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus. And with boldness, they declared that Jesus of Nazareth was the only Savior, the only means whereby they must be saved, and they would keep preaching in the name of the Lord. And those ungodly men, those men, they were full of religion, but they'd never been born again. Tells us in Acts 4 and verse 13, now when they saw, you notice that they saw, they beheld it, they could see it within them. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived, and I like this next little bit, they perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. The word ignorant there does not refer to their manners. Refers to the fact they had no formal education. And while at times we all need to watch our manners, every one of us, the disciples were not ignorant men in that sense. But they had never studied at the feet of Gamaliel. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. And they noted that these men had no formal education, but they marveled why. They took knowledge of them. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. And being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ gave them boldness and courage to preach the word. The glory of the Lord emanated from them. They had compassion for the sinner at Solomon's porch. They proclaimed the gospel to him. They were determined to bring this message to Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. And these men, the Spirit and the glory of God emanated from their lives because they had been with Jesus. And I am saying to you this morning that the company you keep will reflect in your life. If you keep company with the world, you'll live like the world. You'll speak like the world. You'll act like the world. If you keep company with the Lord and with His people, then you'll be, as it were, conformed to the image of Christ. His imprint will be left upon your life. You cannot keep company long with the Holy One, said one commentator. Without His imprint being left upon your life. And when Moses was in the presence of the Lord and he descended the mount, when Peter and John had been with Jesus and they came before the Sanhedrin, Aaron, the Old Testament elders and congregation, they could see, they could tell there was something different about Moses. His countenance glowed with the glory of God. I tell you, that's what we want for our own lives. Why should the Christian seek to be shining for Jesus? let me point out very quickly, our time is flying on this morning, but let me point out a couple of things that when others beheld the glory of God in Moses, in verse 30 we learn that when others beheld Moses' face shine, they reverenced God and they reverenced the Lord's servant. Do you see it? When Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, they were afraid to come nigh to him. Now, that word fear means they were in awe and they were so filled with reverence. A sanctified life is the best testimony that we can have. Because when men and women see Christ shining in us and from us and through us, they will be filled with awe and reverence. I tell you, we are commissioned to preach the gospel, but I believe it has been rightly said that if our preaching with the of the gospel and if our witness and testimony of the gospel is not backed up with the Lord in our lives and shining from our lives, a Christ-like spirit, then it will fall to the ground. When the Lord's servant, his face shone with the sun, the people that he met, there was a reverence for the Lord and for the servant of the Lord. And then do you see in verse 32, not only when they beheld his face shine did they reverence the Lord and his servant, but they were willing to hear God's word. Afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he, that is Moses, gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. My friend, the best witness we can be is not merely to, and you know the spirit in which I say this phrase or use this phrase. We've often heard the phrase used, you only want to ram the gospel down our throats. Men and women, it will not work simply ramming the gospel down people's throats. And that's their expression, not ours, but it won't work. Until and unless it is backed up with the Lord's and the Christ's image shining from our lives. When they saw the face of Moses shine, they came nigh and they said, Moses, tell us the words of the Lord. We're ready to listen to the word of God, what he's told you on the mount. Oh, may God give us such a testimony that the Lord will shine from us, that others will say, tell us. You notice they came nigh to him. They drew nigh to Moses, and he spoke to them. Oh, may others see the glory of the Lord in us and ask us the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shining of his face. He was reflecting the image, something of the image of Christ. The beholding of his face, others perceived it and wanted to hear then what the Lord had said to him. But thirdly, this morning, consider the veiling of his face. Look at verse 33. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil upon his face. From this act of Moses, he took a veil and he covered his face as it glowed and shone the reflected glory of the Lord. From this act of Moses, I believe there is a practical and also a doctrinal lesson. The practical lesson is very simple, that he put the veil upon his face until he had done speaking with them. Moses did not want the people taken up with his shining face, but with the word of God that he was speaking to them. The man was so filled with humility. This action is saying that, look, what I'm saying to you now, it's not about me. It's not about my face shining. It's about the word of the Lord that he has spoken on Sinai and that he's given to you. And therefore, while he gave them the communication of the Lord, he covered his face so that they would not be taken up with the man Moses, but they'd be taken up with the word of the Lord. like John the Baptist who cried, I must decrease, the Lord must increase. In all things, He and His Word must have the preeminence. I want to tell you, there's a lot of evangelists. I'm thinking of the tally variety. Tally evangelists, they could do with taking an example out of Moses' book. Because you know why? In this age in which we live, it seems to be, it's all about the preacher. How great a fellow he is. How many people he can get to tune into his channel, watch his program, gather to his meetings, and how much money he can gather in from the people. Moses knew nothing about it. I want to tell you, I hope there's no danger of this anyway. Don't you ever think that of this preacher? It's not about the preacher in the pulpit. And it's certainly not about me. I often feel like Paul, the least of all the saints. But Moses, uncovering his face, he was saying, it's not about the mere mortal man. It's about the Word of God that I'm giving to you, that you will receive and you will obey and you will live out in your life. And men and women, this pulpit, it shouldn't be so much about the man within it. Yes, the man has to preach the Bible. And if he ever goes wrong and he preaches what's not in the Bible, you have a right to reject the message in the man. But Moses, by this action, is saying, don't be taken up so much with the man as with the message. It's the message. And if the message is biblical, as Moses gave the commands of the Lord, you receive it. You receive the man and the message when it's biblical. Oh, may the Lord imprint that upon our hearts. May the Lord keep His preachers humble. And may the focus always be on the message. That's the practical lesson. The man taken up with the glory of the Lord was so full of humility. He wanted to decrease. And the Lord's Word increased. But turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and with this we'll close. Here's the doctrinal message from the veiling of Moses' face. And I really only have time to mention it this morning. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 7. Read from verse 7. Take time this afternoon. Now you don't have to be at the tent the earliest, 10 to 8, for the prayer time, or half 8, the meeting starts. Those extra moments you have at home today. Read this passage. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 7 to 18. Look at verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stone, that's the Ten Commandments, they were written in stone, was glorious. It was a glorious engraving. It was a glorious ministration. It was a glorious ministration and testament, the Old Testament times. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. That's the glory of the Old Testament. It was to be done away with the coming of Christ. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Paul is saying that the Old Testament was to be done away when the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, would come and die on the cross. It would open up the ministration of the Spirit, the New Testament age and ministration of the church. It would be rather more glorious. Verse 9, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. The New Testament age and ministration is more glorious than the old. He says in verse 11, for if that which was done away is glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. And what Paul is saying is this, that the Old Testament revelation of the gospel was veiled in types, foreshadowings, and sacrifices, and ceremonies, and promises. But that veil has been done away in Christ. And now the believer views the gospel in all its fullness and all its glory. Moses veiled his face in its reflecting of the glory of God. And it speaks of the Old Testament administration. The gospel was veiled in types and shadows. That veil has been done away, and we now view the gospel in the fullness of its glory as revealed in Christ. What a tragedy to end. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away. In the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. The Jews are blinded in their sin, and there remains that veil upon them that they don't see the fullness and the glory that Jesus is the Messiah to take away their sins. But there's coming a day the veil will be removed when the Lord descends. All Israel shall be saved. And in that day, He'll take them again to be His people unto Himself in fullness and in glory. Oh, what lessons there are from the shining face of Moses. May the Lord write them upon our hearts, and may our souls also reflect the beauty and the glory of the Lord.